In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are in the book of Proverbs, getting wise God's way, and we're in chapter 1, verse 24 through 32. These are some amazing passages about wisdom's call to individuals, calling sinners to repentance. But it's not just sinners. Wisdom calls to each of us believers to listen to her, to walk in her ways. And if we don't walk in her ways, we can experience the chastening of God. Now, verse 24 begins, "Because I've called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke." Now, this is a pretty amazing warning by wisdom. She's trying to get your attention, but if you don't receive her, you can begin the progression of rejection. In fact, in this text, we can see a fourfold progression of rejection. First, in verses 24 through 25, fools reject wisdom. See, she says, "Because I called," and it's the same word as "cried out." So she's crying out, but the response is, "You refuse. You resist." For the believer, we can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. And then we see her stretching out her hand, literally offering personal help to your predicament. But then the response is, "No one regarded." In other words, no one's listening. And what are they not listening to? All the counsel. That's God's word, advice, and wisdom. And then the third progression, "Because you disdained." In other words, no serious thoughts. You rejected her rebuke and her chastening. There's a beginning of consequences here. And yet, this individual, this fool, continues to reject. And then fourthly, "You would have none." In other words, not consent. I think the greatest example, this is Pharaoh of Exodus. Pharaoh hardened his heart 11 times, and then God hardens Pharaoh's heart 11 times, 22 times. And by the end of that hard-heartedness, he makes the most fateful decision not to let the people go. And then 10th plague comes and takes away the firstborn. Now, where are you right now in your walk with the Lord? Are you confessing your sin daily? Or are you sinning right now and it's unconfessed? Are you somewhere along this progression of rejecting the wisdom? Are you just resisting? Are you not listening? Are you not even taking any serious thoughts? Or have you just completely rejected God's word and now you're rebelling? That's the progression. Do you see how it can just simply start off as something so simple as, "I'm going to resist." But then in the end, it could become hard hardness. I'm convinced that a hard heart is like a check engine light. It's a warning. Something's wrong. When you have a hardened heart, you need to cry out to God and ask, "Why, Lord, is my heart hardened?" And begin to pray and confess your sins and pray through the situation so you can figure out what's wrong so you can correct the matter. Although this biblical text is primarily focusing on the unbeliever, let's be honest, a believer can harden their heart as well. Listen to 2 Peter 1:5. This is a haunting passage, but also for this very reason, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That if you are diligent to do these things, you'll be fruitful. But now comes the warning. "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." The picture here is that a believer has not been diligent. The believer has been resisting the Spirit, has remained in sin, refusing to confess the sin. And now they are at a point where they become blind and even short-sighted, meaning they can only see past their nose. Now, how does this happen? Well, I think it happens in a couple ways. You know, first is they stop praying. Then they stop reading. Then they stop fellowshipping. They stop listening to God's word. They begin to embrace sin. It's a slippery slope and it's progressive. It doesn't always happen overnight. And the scary part about this is that they can forget that they were cleansed from his old sins. What is that passage getting at? I believe it's pointing to assurance. See, assurance comes from three places. First, the word of God. If you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you are saved. But if you're not reading God's word, you're not getting assurance through God's word. The second place that assurance comes from is the Holy Spirit in you. It cries out, Abba, Father, when we pray. But if you're rebelling, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're grieving. You're quenching. So now you're not getting assurance through the word nor the Spirit. But if you're rejecting God's word, rejecting the Spirit, then that means you're not obeying. There's no fruit in your life. And that's the third place of assurance. And so now you've got no assurance from the word, no assurance from the Spirit, no assurance in your life. You see how a believer can go down these steps and come to a place of doubt, confusion, anxiety, guilt, and shame, all because one refused to repent. This is why 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So I ask you, are you hardening your heart towards God because of sin or unjust suffering? Beware. Check the engine light. And if it's on, get it repaired. The question is, do you know the signs of an approaching storm? See, Proverbs is going to show us in this passage that after a point in time, an individual moves so far away from the word of God and wisdom that the sin begins to bring consequences. Now, when the consequences come, this is a scary moment for the individual, because how often have we, and we can certainly see this in kids, people will say whatever and do whatever to get out of the consequences. But in this passage, wisdom says, you're not going to find wisdom in the midst of your consequences. This is why there's a crisis. Sin always leads to a crisis. And what do you do in that crisis? At that point, you beg for mercy. Well, you can't beg for mercy until you first have repented. Listen to what it says in verse 26 through 28. I will also laugh at your calamity. This describes a disaster. I will mock or deride when your terror or worse fear comes. You see the irony and the twist there? First, they were mocking wisdom, and now wisdom is mocking them. And dread comes like a storm, and it's picturing a significant windstorm. And calamity comes like a whirlwind. This is the severest of windstorms. This is like a tornado. When distress, emotional pain, and anguish, physical hardship come upon you. This is the picture of unrepentant sin's consequences. This unrepentant sinner who's finally receiving consequences is now looking for wisdom. Why would God put this passage here? Because it's revealing that when someone has consequences, yeah, they want wisdom, but what kind of wisdom? To get out of the consequences. But God says, no, those consequences are there to show you that you should not mock me. The consequences are there to demonstrate the righteousness of God, that sin is to be judged. But more than all that, the consequences are there to humble you and to break your pride so that you will truly repent. And at that moment, if the repentance is genuine, then wisdom can begin to restore your life. Psalm 2:1, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. There's the picture. There's the people rebelling against the wisdom of God. But then we see the picture here in heaven. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold or mock them in derision. Galatians 6:7 summarizes it the best. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. This is why in Proverbs 1:28, they will call, shout on me, but I will not answer. They will seek or search me diligently, but they will not find me. Again, do you see the twist? You see the irony? Wisdom was shouting out, but they mocked. They didn't listen. They rebelled. But now they're desperate in their consequences and sin, and they're crying out for wisdom. But wisdom will give them the silent treatment. Matthew 24:38 reads, "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of Son of Man be." You see the consistency there? They were happy to embrace their simple lifestyle before the flood. Though Noah preached for 120 years, none of them repented. And so the flood came and they were washed away. And this is going to repeat again. It's going to be like the days of Noah again. And you will see again people mocking the truth. I pray, brother and sisters, keep your list of sins short. Confess on a daily basis. You need to do this. So Proverbs 29-30 tells us the cause of the problems. Because they hated, they scorned knowledge. They did not choose or prefer the fear of the Lord. They would have none. They would not yield to his counsel. This is why they're in the situation that they're in. The question for you is, what will be your end? As we come to the final verses, 31 through 33, listen to what scripture says. 31, this describes the rebellion. "So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. They will come to ruin, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." But then this room for repentance. "But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil." It doesn't have to end in disaster. If you are in bondage to sin, get out while you can. Repent, turn, go to God, ask for forgiveness, and you'll find mercy. Let's close with these last verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had you and fathers who've corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. May you be trained by righteousness. Until we meet again, may you continue to confess your sins, turn from your sin, and seek the wisdom from above.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.